We are making our way through what is commonly known as the Beatitudes. They are found in the beginning of the book of Matthew. Jesus has been born. That needed to happen for him to be here, okay? And he has grown up, and he is now a man. He has begun his ministry, and at the beginning of his ministry, there was a lot of buzz, a lot of wonder, a lot of awe about what was going on around this man from Galilee, all right? This son of Bethlehem. And one of the really unique points about the story in this time is that, as you all well know, when things come to light in our community, when things come to light in our state, when things come to light in our country, we can all kind of be aware of it. And then, as more things come to light, more people give their opinions, alright? And then as more people give their opinions, more people begin to take sides. And as more people begin to take sides, then the people who are for the opinion shout at the top of their lungs, and the people against the opinion shout at the top of their lungs, and then you have debate, you have people saying mean things, you have silence. That has not happened yet. Now, this does happen even in Jesus' ministry on down the road. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the people begin to hear about Jesus in a negative way from the people who don't like what Jesus is doing, and they rise up and they actually eventually get him before Pilate and end up eventually getting him crucified, thinking, of course, that they got their way, which is never the case when it comes to God and Jesus Christ himself, all right? You may push, you may shove, you may think that you have your way, and then Jesus goes, hello? A devil popped in my head. All right, so there you go, all right? Stones rolled away. It's me. All right, so Jesus wins, okay? But in this part, what he's got is all those people wondering what's going on. They're all like, this new guy, I've heard what he said. It all sounds really good. I don't understand it all, but that's okay with me. So I'm going to go listen. And Jesus is kind of heading up the mountain on this particular day, probably to pray because that's what he does a lot. And he notices that the crowd has gotten fairly good size. And I think he and his dad had a little brief combo right there that was like, it's time. So he turns around, and there's this, almost this natural amphitheater that occurs with these two hills on the side of this mountain. And so Jesus is up the mountain. They're all seated on these two hills, almost like a little coliseum. And Jesus is like, all right, while I've got everybody's attention and while nobody's talking bad, I got a few things to say. That's why this is important. And the first 8 to 10 things that he says are extraordinarily important. All right? And we have worked our way through, all right? We really have. It has been a blessing to me, all right? Whatever y'all get out of it, you know, whatever. But it's been a blessing to me. And we talked about what it meant to be poor in spirit. And we talked about how hard that is to understand how, you know, we try to build confidence into our kids. And what is it to teach spiritual unconfidence? What is it to be ragged before the Lord? Yet understand that when I am empty, he makes me, when I feel defeated, he makes me victorious. To be poor in spirit means that Paul had it right. Not I, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified. The me is blemished, and the me is worn, and the me is burdened. I'm going to keep preaching because God's preaching through me. See what I'm saying? And then we got, blessed are those who mourn. Oh, what an emotional Sunday. As we talked about what we've lost and what we've felt. And then, blessed are the meek. And the inheritance that comes with that. Today, we have one that's fairly popular. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to have to do a lot of breaking down. You know, a lot of times I got a lot of explaining to do. Today there's not a lot of explaining. All right, now that's good because we've had a lot going on. If I had a lot of explaining, we wouldn't get out of here until at least 2 o'clock. We'll be out by 1:30. Easy today. Every visitor in the room is going, wrong church. Anybody ever played with a Rubik's Cube? Yeah. It is not hard to tell somebody how to fix a Rubik's Cube. Right? I mean, think about it. Here are the instructions. exactly what to do this morning. Getting it done, whole other issue. You are going to absolutely understand. Everybody in the room understands what it takes to make the Rubik's Cube done. But not everybody can make the Rubik's Cube done. It will not take any time for me to take your emotions and your understanding through this. It may take a lifetime for us to grasp what this really means because of the competition. Because of the competition. You'll understand in a minute. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Wait, not inherit the earth, not have the kingdom of God, not be comforted. No. They will be filled. Another translation says, satisfied. They will be satisfied. Can I let you in on a little secret about the Bible? We talk to people about describing heaven. You know what they do? They always talk about God, which is a very good thing. And then they jump to the Revelation where they talk about streets of and a crystal. Is there anybody in the room who believes that heaven has gold streets and seas made of diamonds? Some of you are like, why are you asking it like this? Because it doesn't make me want to raise my hand. I thought they were. Does that make sense? There are descriptions about heaven being limited. There are actually descriptions in the Revelation about how long it is, how wide it is. Does anybody in this room think that heaven has, like, boundaries, so to speak? Yes? No? Odd, isn't it? How do we take something that is out of this world and use words that are in this world to describe it? You do the very best you can. The most rich, the most shiny, the most popular thing. Gold, you know. He saw this shimmering, fantastic thing. It was like gold, and the seas were so shimmery, they were like diamond. Nobody wants to dive into a diamond, don't you? Unless you want to take a diamond swim here. But you don't want to go swimming in a bunch of rocks. There's no pleasantness there, all right? This is not what God intended. In fact, there is only one word in all of Scripture, according to some of the great theologians of our time. There's only one word that describes heaven. Do you know what it is? Satisfy. In the Scripture, the only word used to describe heaven that is not allegorical or symbolic is the word satisfy. Interesting, isn't it? Who gets filled? Who gets satisfied? Stop. Now let's talk about something. When we work through things like Compassion International and Food for the Hungry, when we see those commercials on television with those little boys with their bellies sticking way out, all right, with those kids that you can see the bones of their own, and it breaks your heart. Are those kids hungry? Do those kids know what hunger is like? Have you ever wanted to slap your child when they come up to you and tug on your pants and say, "Daddy, I'm hungry"? I have said to my son, "You do not know what hungry is." "But my belly." "Your belly is fine." Now my belly's getting a little out of hand, but his belly's fine, all right? He's crazy. We, for the most part in this room, we don't know what hunger is like. We don't know what it's like to be absolutely lacking something. Hunger to us is 12 o'clock came and went. It's 1:30 and I ain't had my second meal of the day yet. Unless you're in Lord of the Rings. And then it's the third because you had second breakfast. Aren't we like that? Aren't we like that? It gets to be 5 o'clock, you skip lunch, and you're losing your mind because you are, and you use this word. Man, I'm stuck. is that we don't get it. We're fed. Hunger to us is we missed a few hours. Not my health is declining because there is no food. How about this? What have we thought about it when it comes to righteousness? Think about our nation and the unrighteousness. And then let me ask you a question. Would anybody say that the spiritual and moral and ethical health of our nation is declining? No righteousness. No righteousness. What about thirst? Oh, thirsty. I get thirsty while I'm preaching. But is that the same thirsty that this is talking about? Oh, I want, you know, another one. My poor boy, he's going to get just thrown all over the place this morning. He'll come to me and he'll say, "Dad, I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink?" Now, we just had dinner and he just had a juice box. But he's thirsty. And I say to him, what a lot of you said to your kid, "How about some
water?"
"But I don't want water." "Then what? Then guess what? You're not thirsty." Y'all understand what I got going on here? You smell what I'm blowing your direction, right? Got it. Not thirsty. Okay. Spiritually, I believe the same thing about most of us in this room. We talk about what we want. We talk about, do you know how many times I've had people come to me and say, "Craig, I'm ready. I want to be closer to God. I want to do more in the church for God. I want to give my life over to God." So at that moment, perhaps they are hungry for something that's missing in their life. And so I say, if you will, serve here. If you will, work on your marriage. If you will, work on how you parent your kids. If you will, show up for small group. Then we will help satisfy you with the righteousness of God. Well, I want it to be able to come on Sunday morning and that be all. You're just like my boy when I offer him water. You ain't thirsty. If you're not willing to drink or eat what it is that will fill you up, guess what? You ain't hungry. Let me put it a better way. Some of y'all are starting to be like, "Man, I feel beaten today." You ain't hungry enough. There will come a time. Some of you have experienced this. Where you've gotten there via the opposite path. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. But in order to feel loved, have any of you tried to satisfy that love void with sex? In order to feel comforted, have any of you tried to satisfy that void with some kind of drug? Have any of you felt, you ready for this? Anxious. There's some people in the room that are going, "Be careful. My doctor says I need it." Let me say this to you, all of you, me included, because I've been there. When the Bible says, "Do not kill," what do we say? Do not kill. We don't make a pill for people who kill. When God says, "Do not steal," what do? We don't steal. And if somebody steals, what do we call it? Stealing. No, we call it a sin. If somebody kills, we call it a sin. Don't be an idolater. If somebody has an idol, we call it a sin. But if the Bible says, "Do not be anxious," and we're anxious, what do you call it? Some of y'all just got mad at me. Jesus. That's it. (Laughter) you're telling me that my anxiety is a sin? Here's what I'm telling you. Let me ask you this. If you completely trusted in an almighty, all perfect, all knowing, all sufficient, all powerful, owned everything God, who loves you beyond any creature that he's ever created, and wants to have hope and a future for you, but you worry about whether or not you're going to have what you need, or get what you need, or have what you want, or get what you want. Are you putting your trust in him? Is your anxiety justified because you have a heavenly Father that you're turning your life on? No, no, no. Here's the problem. You either don't believe he has enough money, or don't believe he has enough food, or don't believe he has enough care for you, or don't believe he can satisfy your needs, or you don't trust him. Pick a sin, because one of them leads back to your anxiety. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. But I am anxious. Let me tell you about the most anxious time in my life. When I went from 135 pounds down to, I was a moose, wasn't I? When I went from 135 pounds down to about 112 pounds, I was going through a divorce. I was walking away. I was trying to figure it out. I did not want people surrounding me to tell me what I could and could not do. And I know full well that my anxiety was through the roof. Now, I can say my anxiety was caused by something and that I needed medicine to fix it, or I can fix the sin in my life and not worry about what everybody else was thinking. And then guess what happens to my anxiety? I don't like this church very much. I don't like this church very much because I take pills for that and I need them. I'm not saying that you don't. Not even for a minute. But Craig, it's a physical thing. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm really not. But Craig, I need it. And most of us are glad you're taking it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That was the husbands and the wives of the people who were taking it. But I want you to hear me and hear me close. If you were so hungry and so thirsty and so drinking of the cup of the kind of God that Paul drank from, where men would come up to him and say, prison's up next for you. Beaten with a rod is up next for you. We're going to sink the ship that you're going to get on in the Mediterranean. We're going to kill you. We're going to destroy you. We're going to throw you in prison. Do you think that would make anybody today a little bit anxious? But Paul said, bring it! There is nothing you can do to me that my God hasn't already gone through. There is nothing that you can take me from that my God can't give me more of. There is nothing in this world that I have to cling to, not alcohol, not drugs, not a wife, not a husband, not a girlfriend or a boyfriend, not sex, not porn. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy me the way an almighty God can satisfy me. When you're full of the God of the universe, you just don't need. So why be anxious? Because you have anointed my head with oil and my cup what?
Come on.
Blessed are the... Craig, how do I get my cup to run over? Well, if my cup runs over, what does that mean my cup is? Full. How do I get filled? Well, I'll be! There she goes! Whose cup gets full? People who hunger and thirst for what?
righteousness, a right standing before Congress, a right standing before the preacher, a right standing before your spouse, a right standing before the government, a right standing before the sports board. Who gets filled? People who yearn, long. The literal translation of this word hunger, famished, longing. People who are back to poor in spirit, brokenhearted for the nature of where we live and who we are. I am literally dying to feel and utter and experience the righteousness of God. And those people who long for it, drink deeply of it. In John chapter 4, a woman who was looking for love in all the wrong places comes to a well to try to quench her thirst. And a little man was taking a nap right by the well. And as she dipped her little water thingamabobby thing, that's a technical King James term, down into the well, that little man popped up and he said, "Hi!" And she said, "Hey." And he said, "How are you?" And she said, "He's awkward." And he said, "Can I have a drink?" And she said, "You don't have a dippy thingamabob thingy." And he says, "You're a smart woman, because that's why I asked you for a drink." And she said, "Oh." And he said, "Can I have a drink?" She said, "Still awkward." He said, "How about if I give you a drink?" She said, "More awkward. You don't have to think about it." Then he said, "I'll give you water that you'll never have to think of a dip for again." I think I've told this story before, but you all laugh. Do you have any idea how awkward this story really is? Anybody? Let me explain it to you. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, Mama, and you are thirsty, and you'd like to have a Mountain Dew. You would. But there's no Mountain Dew refreshment thingy in your home. So you have to get to the local Kunkeline or Walmart or something where there's a, you know, dispensary thingy. So at 2 o'clock in the morning, unbeknownst to hubby here, you leave. Sneak out, you know, your quick-witted gal. Head out to the local gas station. 2 a.m., nobody in sight, nobody around. You stick your first quarter in that machine, and a little Chinaman pops out from behind you. Yeah. A little Chinaman pops right out from behind the machine, and he says, "Hiya!" And you look at him like he is insane in the membrane. There's my movie for him. And you say, "I'm just getting me a Coke." And he says, "Oh, can I have a Coke? Do you have 50 cents? "I don't have 50 cents." "Then you can't have a Coke." "Oh, but I want a Coke." "Then you need 50 cents. And then the Chinaman looks right at you at 2 in the morning and says, "How about the, I give you a living Coke?" "You'll do what?" "Oh yeah, I give you a living Coke. That Coke can never run dry. One can forever. Like a buffet."
what happened. Then she asks a brilliant question. She says, I know you're a prophet. Jesus says, something like it. Can you tell me if I can worship there, if I can worship there? Because these people say I gotta worship here. These people say I gotta worship here. And he says the question is all wrong. Not about where you worship. That's not gonna fill your cup. Not about how you worship. Not gonna fill your cup. Not about how often you worship. Not gonna fill your cup. Guess what it's about? Who you worship. That'll fill your cup. And it just so happens, I'm the man. Look it up. Look the end of it. He says, I am the what? Messiah. He says, I am the Messiah. This is the first person in the book of John that is told who Jesus actually is. The king? No. The deacons? No. The priests? No. The harlot? Uh-huh. Why does Jesus tell a prostitute woman who can't get love and can't get full and can't get satisfied, why does he give himself to her? She wanted it. Because she really wanted it. Can I just tell you something, church? For those of you who really want it, Jesus is literally dying to give it to you. For those of you who really want it, Jesus will give you the strength to be in church more often. Jesus will give you the strength to find a place for your child so that you can go to small group. Jesus will give you the money to pay for gas to get here if here's where you need to be. Jesus will provide all that you need if you are hungering and thirsting after His righteousness. He will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness. And all these things will be what? Added unto you. You mean if I seek God first, the rest of it's going to work out? You solved the Rubik's Cube! I told you, it's easy to explain. You ready for the hard part? Go do it. See, when I say go do it, here's what I get.
Oh, way to go, preacher. Amen to that. I've been good with this morning.
You're going to walk right up to me, and God love you, you're going to shake my hand, and I'm going to love you back. And I'm going to see you here next week. How about I call it what it is? Baloney. Not that you're not a loving person, or that I'm not a decent preacher. But what are we doing? What are we doing? You're going to go out there and you're going to chase the other things that you need. You're going to go and try to make yourself a little more money. How much money is enough? You know what rich people say? One more. How much money is enough? Just one more. Tomorrow, how much money will be enough? Just one more. Do you know what that's called? Never being satisfied. How many drugs are enough? How many drinks are enough? How many kids are enough? How many relationships are enough? How many porn sites are enough? Guess why you are never satisfied? Because you're hungry and thirsty for something you can't. Please don't be angry at me for talking about anxiety. We all deal with it. I've been there. I told you my story. I'm not upset at you. I hold no ill will or judgment against you. You're addicted to something. Everybody's addicted to something. It might just look like sports. It might just look like computer screen. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, if there is an insatiable need for all the things of this world, this is a paraphrase, and all of the things of this world never fill it, ultimately something has to be true. And that something is that you're not made for this world. Think about it. If all of the things of this world can never fill you up, then perhaps the only explanation is you're not created for this world. This is not your home. You are aliens and strangers in this land. You were made for more. Our citizenship is in heaven. So yearn. Yearn for right. I yearn for the day. There are things that I do. It's hiding. There are things that I do. My wife does. My family does. My kids, I hope, will do. That if I miss it, if I don't do it, it's weird. You know what I'm talking about? If I came in this morning and I had written it on Friday in the office, and I couldn't find it on Friday in the office, and so I came out here and I looked where I always put it, and that's where it was. But it weirded me out because it's part of who I am, alright? I want everything in my life about Jesus to be like that. I want to be so right before God. And I want the people around me to be so right before God. And I want their joy to be so complete. And I want their hope to be so fulfilled. That we have hungered and thirsted for the right things. And they are just naturally a part of us, filling us up and overflowing out into the rest of the world. And when somebody says, "What is wrong with you?" all you can say is, "I'm full." You ever notice a good meal tastes a lot better when you're a little hungry? You eat something on a full stomach? I was saying, you eat something, even a great meal, but when you're a little hungry, oh, it tastes so much better. Spiritually, it's the same. If you're empty, if you're yearning, if you're longing, there's a quenching that God can do that's beyond anything else. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Cameron to come. He's going to strum a little. Then he's going to sing a little. And I don't know what you're going to do. Some of you need to think about the competition. You need to think about what's going on in your life. You need to think about what's going on and to think about what you're still struggling for. What drug you're still reaching for. What woman you're still longing for. What job you're still serving under. What thing is it that gets every ounce of your energy you're trying to satisfy? More money, more drug, more time, more love. What more is it? And you just want to go, how about no more? How about no more? Maybe you want to come down to this altar today and use those two words. Dear Jesus, no more. No more chasing this, I trust you. No more shooting this up, I trust you. No more giving my body away, I trust you. No more trying to chase another dollar, I trust you. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way in my life. No more. Man, maybe you've got it. Maybe in the last several months in this church, you have absolutely found it. You have absolutely found it. And you are just, starting. The overflow, the comfort is being found in you. Like one person described to me this week in my office. I remember you talking about baptizing and feeling like I was just pulled towards you. Feeling like God was just pulling me to give it up. Pulling me to get saved. Pulling me to be baptized. And stop pulling against Him. Maybe this morning that pull's happening. You should come up to me and you say, "Craig, it's time. It's time. I need to tell the whole church, and I know what it makes me responsible for, but I'm going to do it. Just like Jim, I'm going to do it. I'm ready to get baptized. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I'm ready to give up this or give up that. I'll be down here if you need me." But the Bible doesn't say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, because Craig will fill them." Can't do it. Working on it myself. But if you got something you need to give up on today, you got something you need to turn over to the Lord today, you got a decision to be saved, to be baptized, to recommit yourself to the Lord today, while Cameron plays, while he sings, you just come down to this altar, you give it up to God. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. That's where unrighteousness starts. It's all about what God thinks. That's the point. If you need me, I'm here. Just reach out. As he sings, you come. If your cup's already full and you just, if it runs over, you just sing along with me whenever you're ready.